We're talking about something very important today, and it has to do with Mechias Amalek. We are tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem Yisvarach, we will be Mekayim the Mitzvah Doraisa of Zechiras Amalek, and it is something that is certainly important. Yet at the same time, if we reflect a little bit, is somewhat odd. There are a variety of mitzvahs, a variety of psukim in the Torah where we are commanded to remember something. Zachar, remember to remember Maimon Har Sinai. We are commanded to remember Maimon Har Sinai. We are commanded to remember what happened with Miriam. Zachar Sim HaShabbos L'Kasho. Some of those become real mitzvahs d'oraisas. Some of them are machloksim, where the mitzvah d'oraisas, etc. The one zechira, which we're certainly most familiar with and which comes up this time of year, is the mitzvah of Zachar Zasher Asher Lecha Amalek B'derech B'teischem Mitzrayim, which is a Torah requirement to remember what happened to with Amalek. Pashtus, this is a bit of a machlokas Rishonim and a lot of discussion in Achronim. The mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, why do we remember Amalek? So we remember Amalek so that we can destroy Amalek, so we can fulfill Mechias Amalek. It's not true for all Rishonim or all Achronim, but for many. The whole sugya of Amalek is somewhat of a challenging one, Bizman Hazeh. The reason why it's challenging, Bizman Hazeh, is that we are unable to identify who Amalek really is. The Mishnah, Mesechta Yadayim, Perek Dal, Mishnah Dal, Tzigmar, Mesechta Bracha, and other locations. The Chazal tells that Sancheirev, in his time, was Bilbel es Kol HaUmos, that Sancheirev mixed up all the nations together, and therefore we're not really able to identify who is a member of which nation. We don't know who is a member of Amalek, who is not a member of Amalek. Pashtus. Therefore, the Minchas Chinuch writes that the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is not a mitzvah that we are able to fulfill Bizman Hazeh, because the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek demands the ability, at least even as a first step, to identify who Amalek is. Now, even if we could identify who Amalek is, there are additional reasons why Bizman Hazeh we may not be able to fulfill it, but on the most basic level, there isn't even what to talk about. We don't know exactly who they are. All of that raises an important question, which is, Bizman Hazeh, when we read about Amalek, when we think about Zechiras Amalek, you think a little bit about Mechias Amalek, so is that really Shayach altogether? Mechias Amalek, presumably not. Zechiras Amalek, not even presumably, Mechias Amalek is not Shayach Bizman Hazeh. If you... You have a couple stories, isolated stories here or there in regards to certain tzaddikim, but that's not for us. But what's the function of a Zechiras Amalek nowadays? We're remembering something that we can't actualize on that which we're remembering. We're unable to do anything based on that act of Zechira. We're going to try today to highlight either two or three approaches, depending on timing. We're going to highlight the Mahalach of the Rav, a Mahalach of the Babich Rebbe, and a Mahalach, hopefully if we have time, of Rav Huttner. But this is an important question. It's an important question. Again, I'm sorry it's not part of our normal shiurim on the Maharal, but hopefully I have leanings and I find fascinating some of the contemporary machshava stuff. Some of the rough pieces a bit more halachic, Labach Rebbe less so, Rav Huttner less so also. But let's try and figure out, what does that mean that we are remembering Amalek Bizman Hazeh? What exactly is that all about? So, let's start like this. The Rav's Mahalach is a Mahalach he quoted in the name of his father. Some have it quoted in the name of Reb Chaim, but Pashtus, it's really in the name of his father. It's the following insight. It's a well-known insight, and it's one that requires some precision in trying to explain what exactly the Rav meant, or his father meant, and to try to talk about some of the implications. If you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam there talks about the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. In Perikei Halacha Dalet, he quotes the mitzvah, I say, Lahachim Shivas Amimim. Shiva Amim. We have a mitzvah d'oraisa to destroy the seven nations that dwelled in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam writes, V'chol Shebal Yado Echad Mehen V'lo Hargu Over B'lo Sase. If one of the members of those nations comes and you do not destroy them, you violate a lo sase. But says the Rambam, Ukvar Ava Zichram. But we no longer know exactly who they are. So that mitzvah of Harigash Shiva Amimim no longer applies to Bizman Hazeh. However, the Rav writes, again, this is a very famous idea. The Rambam writes also, V'chein mitzvot aseh la beit zeichar Amalek. Also mitzvot aseh to destroy Amalek. And the Rambam writes similarly. And also mitzvot aseh lizkor tamed ma'asef harayim. There's also a mitzvah to remember Amalek. Yet, as some of the Nosei Kalim point out, the Rambam does not issue the same qualification with Amalek. When it comes to killing Shiva Amimin, the Rambam writes, Ukvar avad zichram, we don't know who they are anymore. we can identify them. But when it comes to the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMalek, that's not what the Rambam writes. The Rambam never writes it doesn't apply Bisman Hazeh. Why wouldn't the Rambam write that Mechiyas HaMalek doesn't apply Bisman Hazeh? Just like the memory of the Shema Amamin is gone, so too the memory of a Malek is gone. So one way of reading the Rambam with some of the Mefarshim, the Rambam suggests that he means Inachinami, but really it's obvious. Once he told us by Shiva Amamin, it's obvious also for a Malek. With Moshe Soloveitchik, however, the Rav pointed out, the Rav quoted his father, Fate and Destiny, page 65 in one of the English translations. The Rav Shechter quotes it in Bikvei Hatzon. It's a very well-known idea. We're quoting an idea in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The following Ha'ara. Moshe Soloveitchik said there's two dinim in Amalek. One din in Amalek is what we refer to as genealogical, biological Amalek, the children of Amalek, Zera Amalek. That is something which has to be destroyed, but that's something which once on Cherev mixed up the nations together, we no longer have an Amalek that we're able to identify. However, there is another kind of Amalek. The other kind of Amalek, don't get excited, he wasn't turning off the air in this thing. Another kind of Amalek that we're talking about is ideological Amalek. Said the Rav as follows. The Chiyutikal Amalek, quote, does not only translate into the communal exercise of waging war against a specific race, but includes as well the obligation to rise up as a community against any people or group that, filled with maniacal hatred, directs its enmity against Knesset Yisrael. The Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggested that Amalek, anyone that stands up, any group that stands up, and they're filled with hatred against Klal Yisrael, that their banner says, let's go take on Klal Yisrael, they become Amalek. In the 30s and 40s, suggested Rav Soloveitchik, that becomes the Nazis, Hitler at the head, as a din of Amalek. Bisman has the Rav saying in his days, it becomes other groups, but any group, the Rav understood, you talk about Zechiris Amalek and Mechias Amalek, it's not just a question of biological Amalek, it's also a question of ideological Amalek. Let's try and point out a couple of things. A primary question is what exactly the Rav, or Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, really meant by this. And here you have, I think, three different mahalchim. One mahalach is the Taina. This is just drush. It has no real halachic impact. It's drush. He doesn't really mean that we should say it that way. If you look at, for example, in source number 6, Tshuva's Mulmadi Milchama, Rav Nachum Rabinovich, the great Rosh Hashiva of Ma'ale Adumim, in his Tshuva's on Hilchot Savat, Tshuva's for those that are going to the army. Amazing timing. So Rav Rabinovich there in his Tshuva's writes that this idea, if you look in the Rambam himself, it doesn't sound like that in the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. It's pointed out by others also, that Mor Nevuchim sounds like the Chiv of Amalek is Dafka, then in Zera Amalek, in the biological descendants of Amalek. So he suggests, Rav Moshe said, that Barer She'enza Ela Drush, it was just Drush, it wasn't, he didn't mean it halachically that you really consider these people to be Amalek. He was working off of a Rambam to explain an idea which was more al derech drush. He quotes that Rav Yitzchak Shilat, who's now one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Ma'ale Adumim, he's translated a lot of works of the Rambam, that he told of Rabinovitz that when Tzvi Yehuda Cook heard of this idea that the Rav quoted his father, Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, She'eno ela drush, all this is a drush, and V'yeshlim na milomar dvarm ke'ela. And it's not the kind of drush that a person should be saying. We learn, maybe for Yom HaSmot, we'll quote a line of the Rav, maybe going back in the other direction on something that Yehuda said. But for now, we'll leave it as is. The other way of viewing it is to understand the Rav was actually conveying an idea, which on some level is halachically binding. Now, what does it mean it's halachically binding? So if you look as an example in source number 3 of Shechter Shlita, Bikvei Hatzon, Amud Reish Yud Gimel, he writes, he quotes this idea, and he writes, reparations. There was a big discussion in Eretz Yisrael. When the state was founded, Germany decided they wanted to give reparations to the state of Israel on behalf of because of what they did during World War II. And there was enormous debate whether we should or should not accept reparations from Germany. Soloveitchik was opposed to accept reparations from Germany. And part of that was, the Rav suggested, because of this idea that they're like ideological Amalek, and to get Hana, to take from their biza, to take from their property, is something which one should be opposed to. It is fascinating that in source number 4, Rabbi Jachter wrote an article about the Rav, and he writes that actually he was a mishamish of the Rav when the Rav is much older, and he writes that in once privately discussing with the Rav about a question about buying a German manufactured automobile, the Rav said as follows. The Rav thought that he made a mistake about this, that when he spoke to Ben-Gurion, the Prime Minister of Israel, and strongly encouraged Ben-Gurion not to take reparations from Germany, that the Rav himself, later on in life, when he saw what that did to the economy of Eretz Yisrael, he had regrets over the fact that he pushed Ben-Gurion not to accept it. But already, what you see is one that it seems to really be impacting practice. It seems to be impacting practice. Now, it's not going to impact anything as far as Mechias Amalek really goes, but that may be for a side reason. But it may have a certain kind of a halachic, certain halachic implications. It may at least have some of that. Pashtus, I think, at least it's possible that what the Rav meant was something a little bit more in between. I think Rosenzweig in a different way once suggested an idea like this to explain the Rav. It wasn't pure drush, nor did he mean it in a narrow halachic sense and really become a malek. It was something in between. It was an idea that... It's an idea that he may have very much believed in, that there are elements of Amalek for any group that tries to go up against Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean that we're going to give them a formal halachic din of Amalek, a formal halachic din of Amalek, but it does mean that it may impact, even in a practical way, the way that we relate to them. It's not Jewish Ba'alma, where you hear it and then you move on, but it may impact the kind of orientation that you're going to have when you're dealing with people who are strongly opposed. That when it comes to Amalek, the way I relate to their property, the way I relate to how we deal with them, maybe even the extent to which I'm going to be merciful in my interactions with them, there are ideas here that are going to be there. That's what we said so far. I want to add just like one or two nekudas about the Rav. It's not a sheer dafka about Amalek. We're not going to explore all the implications of the Rav, but let me just point that as follows. Our Salvechik, how could it be Zechiras Amalek? What's the significance of it? Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, we don't have Amalek. Answered the Rav, maybe we, from the name of his father, maybe we do have Amalek. What's that Amalek? It's the ideological Amalek. When a nation comes up and they want to oppose Klal Yisrael, so that nation gets, in a certain sense, a status. They get a status of Amalek. They get something along those lines. How much the Rav, I think it's very hard to argue he meant that as pure, serious halacha. Rishato, I don't think he thinks that Mamish Akdekach really a din of Amalek. I don't think even Rishato, I don't think that's the Pashas at all. I don't think he meant it was Drush Ba'alma either. It clearly impacted the way that he did certain things. This idea, by the way, happens to be fascinating because this is something which I think Rabbi Lam points out, and you find some interesting things. Once this is true, if you really buy the idea that Amalek is anyone that comes up against Klal Yisrael, so you could have an interesting phenomenon. Number one, what you could have is you're going to apply that to other contexts. So I think one of the former chief rabbis who's now on his way to prison, so when he, there's only one of those, sorry, I should clarify that, not like of the large group, of especially because this week is chief rabbi week in Chalvim, so Baruch Hashem, those are, you know, I think all good. I think even suggest based on this idea that it could be that certain, you know, a group like ISIS or things like that, maybe they really have a din of Amalek. Rabbi Lam raises some questions about this because the implications of it are fascinating. This is from memory, but I hope what I'm saying right now is accurate. He points out if this is really true, you could theoretically have members of the Jewish people that would have the status of Amalek, which is a wild, wild idea. Because if it's really anyone that goes up against like Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam, so you could have even Jews that would have the status of Amalek. I believe, how does it go? I think I heard this once in the name of Professor David Schatz, who's great with these lines. That one man's reductio ad absurdum is another person's ein hachinami. So I think what Rabbi Lam points out is absurd. How could it be that a member of Klal Yisrael is really part of Amalek? So Rav Sternbach, his tshuvas, drops the shtickle ein hachinami. Maybe. I don't think he means it really halachically, but elements of the idea, why not? So you do find something here, but the rough idea, what I would say is like this. It's a very challenging idea to really implement at all. Not only in the Mechias Amalek way, which we should not bechlal be doing, Bizman Hazeh, but it's a challenge to implement, but it does have the ability to, I think, shift orientation and at times practice in dealing with nations that are strongly opposed to Klal Yisrael. These are not just regular, this is part of a long-standing battle that Klal Yisrael has had, with Amalek. That's Mahalach number one. That's the Rav's Mahalach. Let's shift to Mahalach number two, which is the Mahalach of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Mahalach of the Lubavitcher Rebbe is one that I believe is a classic Mahalach you'll find in Sifrei Hasidus, part of it, he in his own twist. I think you'll find in Sfas Emesis and the like. That's more my area. For all I know, it's also in like the Bali Musar, just Chatani Masker Hayom. I'm not as familiar with the writings of Balin Vassar. I did spend the summer a couple of years ago trying to break into the world of Rabbi Saul Salanter, which was definitely helpful, but as with Hashem, I have what to learn about the Balin Vassar and many other things, but also the Balin Vassar. The Balin Vassar suggests as follows. He questions, if you look here in source number one, I guess, because I messed up the sheet. In the Shari Moedim in Chodesh Adar, he points out as follows. I don't get it. Zechiras HaMalek is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa that Lechora, he suggests, is connected very closely to the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalek. Any of you want it. Again, that's really a chakir with a couple of nafkaminas. How much it's connected to Mechias HaMalek are separate. But it connected Lechora to the din of Mechias HaMalek. And he says, "V'kevin shebetzkufasenu yeshal kain befoel shetzivor shel mechias amalek." Nowadays, that we can't do it, so the purpose of zechira also shouldn't be that significant. So, why do we have a parshas zachar? What's the big deal of remembering amalek? We can't do anything with it. Zechira is tied with mechias amalek. We can't do that much with it. So, what exactly is going on here? What exactly are we trying to accomplish? Balchani points out the following, and it's an interesting idea. He argues that there's a yesod of Amalek which is still around nowadays. Not as much in the narrow halachic sense as far as the kind of mechias Amalek that we're familiar with, but suggested by the Rebbe, there's an inyan of Amalek which a person still has to destroy, and that's an internal kind of an Amalek. What is the midah of Amalek? So there are different ways to go. Some will speak about Amalek as something which is suffic. Amalek brings doubt into the world. And that's why, isn't it interesting, that Purim is the avoda of not necessarily removing doubt, but learning how to live with doubt, of ad lo yada. Is the tikkun of Amalek, is the tikkun of Amalek clarity, or is the tikkun of Amalek learning how to live with doubt and be able to go on well? That is an important insight. I think that's more of a modern-day neo-Hasidic insight. This is like a classic, your brother, Shlita, is I believe. He has a... How does it be? If any of you are... Joey Rosenfeld, who is honestly like unbelievable, has like a YouTube video, I think, of him giving a shir somewhere on some Amalek of Adlo Yada. It is actually mind-blowing. It's unbelievable. I remember watching it once and having to stop it every like 5 minutes and just like, I don't even know what. It was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable. There's something about that line also, as far as the Amalek goes. If Amalek is something, what's the reaction? For others, the midah of Amalek based on the Rashi al Torah is the midah of cooling down. It's the midah of removing passion, which explains also how Purim is somewhat of a tikkun for that, because Purim's a day when there's a lot of fire, a lot of intensity, and a lot of excitement. For the Avot Rebbe, it's something else. Chazal, I believe, explain about Amalek that the midah of Amalek is a nation that is. It's a nation that is. Yodea es ribono umiskavim limrodbo. The midah of Amalek is a certain kind of brazen rejection. A certain kind of brazen rejection of Klal Yisrael. Of the Ribono Sholem. To know about the Ribono Sholem and still want to rebel against. To know about the Ribono Sholem and still want to rebel against the Ribono Sholem. It's one thing, it's that here Amalek is not representing that world of doubt. Here Amalek is representing a clarity and a almost ferocious response to Ribono Shel Olam. Suggests the Lubavitch Rebbe that each and every person, I'm going to be thrown out here anyway, so I might as well, suggests the Lubavitch Rebbe the following insight. All of us have a little bit of that. We aren't a Malek, obviously, but we all have maybe a little bit of that feeling of there are times where we are. We know there's a Ribono Shel Olam there. We know what the right thing to do is. And we still don't do it. Look over here. In Yonah Shel Amalek hu yodeh Ribono miskavin limrod bo. V'lachein. V'fnei shihudi mekayim es mechias Amalek kipshuta. Alav lidog l'kach. Shebesocho atzmo lo yiyye Amalek. Yodeh es Ribono miskavin limrod bo. Gam lo bedakas. Even just a little bit of that hargasha. Of the way I would say it. I know what's right. And I'm still not doing it. I know what's right. I know what the proper thing to do is. And sometimes I don't do it anyway. Sometimes I know what the right path to take is. I know that I should be more sensitive to this guy right now. I'm just not. I know I should be for davening right now, have just a little bit more kavana when I'm sitting there in my davening for an esrei. I just don't. And I'm not, and part of the world of Amalek, it's not even a world. My excuses, I know, are not that great. And my excuses are not really that real. But it's a certain kind of amida, a certain kind of a negativity, of your day yesh, miskaven limberbo, that I'm going to reject it. Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests, Lubavitcher Rebbe suggests on the third page, which is not there, that's why an interesting insight. Number one, that's why he suggests the act of Zechiras Amalek is for many Rishonim counted as a separate mitzvah from Mechias Amalek. If Zechiras Amalek is just a way of leading us to be able to engage in Mechias Amalek and actually destroying Amalek, it should not be counted in the Minyan Taryag. It's a Hechsher mitzvah. Why are you counting Zechiras Amalek as a separate mitzvah, as a mitzvah of Zechira? Because Zechira itself, suggests with Soloveitchik, it has inherent value. Because when you remember Amalek, the act of remembering Amalek is the act of purifying self. The act of remembering Amalek is the act of clarifying for yourself that I don't want to be Amalek. I don't want to be Amalek. It is something which a person can do. It is po'eles mechias Amalek shebenefesh. The Rav offers the following suggestion. How does a person do that? I have that small mida of Amalek. For the Babich Rebbe, it has to do with that. I know the Ribbono Shel Olam there, and I'm still not doing it. For others, it's a mida of suffix. For others, it's a mida of a lack of passion. How do you fix that? So the Rav understands that you fix that by the act of Zechiras Amalek. When you remember Amalek, that helps change you. When you remember Amalek, that helps transform you. That maisa of hearing about Amalek, of Zachar, it brings something into our consciousness, it brings something into our intellectual awareness, and as a result, it helps fix me. How does that work? What does that mean? That's when you remember Amalek, that's what changes you. So the Babich Rebbe offers the following interesting halachic insight. There are many mitzvos of Zechira. Take Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekacho. How do you fulfill Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekacho? Machlokas HaRishonim Mido writes, how do you fulfill it? Gemara Pesachim, Zachreyu Al Hayayin. For some Rishonim, the mitzvah d'oraisa is, I pick up a cup of wine, I say Kiddush. That's my mitzvah on wine of Zachar Shema Shabbos Lekacho. For most Rishonim, it's just saying the words even. Just saying the words, the wine, that's all derabanan. Just saying the word does it alone. What's unique for many poskim about the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek? You have to do it through Kriyas HaTorah. You have to have a Kriyas HaTorah that we know that's true in Tosfos, the Rosh day like that. That Kriyas, Parsha Zachar, is a din d'oraisa. Normally, Kriyas HaTorah, Pashtas, emphasis on the word Pashtas, Kriyas HaTorah is only a derabanan. Suddenly, this creates a Torah as d'oraisa. If it's all about remembering, it's amazing insight. If it's all about remembering, why do we even do that from a Torah? Remember it the same way you remember Shabbos. Remember it the same way you remember Har Sinai. Learn it from a Chumash. I don't know. Talk about it. Just talk about it and you're good. Why the creates a Torah? Why was the method, the manner in which you're supposed to remember Amalek, are we doing that through a Torah? This is interesting insight, by the way, because both the Rav and the Babich Rebbe in these ideas, if I can make a brief like methodological point, they do a good job of, or a bad job, depending on your perspective, of merging a little bit of the world of halacha and the world of machshava. Chasam Sofer is a tshuva where he writes that if you merge halacha and machshava, it's a violation of the Isser of Shatness. You're mixing two things together. I think they quote from a Tzvi Yehuda Cook. I remember hearing this once in our base manager. I'm not a bucky in Tzvi Yehuda Cook. I was going to say the writings of Tzvi Yehuda Cook, so to speak. I really don't even know how the writings. I'm assuming that they exist because I've seen a sefer called Tzichos Tzvi Yehuda, but I don't even know that much. But I think Tzvi Yehuda said that, like, and I have some sofer, like, if you really, really know what you're doing, so then you may not violate the shatnas. But both of them here are merging in a certain sense a kind of halacha and agada. They're both not talking strictly halachic terminology. The Rav's Gemara Shir is a regular Gemara Shir, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, when he writes in Lund, it's often very. But the Rebbe had the ability, and the Rav here also, to work off of certain halachic sources and to derive certain ideas that are ideas in the world of Machshava. For the Rav, that was a diak in the Rambam. There's a diak in the Rambam. for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's an interesting insight as far as the Moni HaMitzvos, and that question we've shown him, why do we read it from the Sefer Torah? Listen to the following insight. It is a wild one. It's so good. If we're learning Sechs in the Darim now, we'd be able to really appreciate it maybe a little bit more, but let me just try and share it with you. Torah, according to Chazal, Sakla Boraisu Ubara Alma, I'm going to elaborate on the Rebbe's idea and hopefully make it clearer. Sakla Boraisu Ubara Alma, Torah serves the blueprint for the world. Torah has the ability to change the nature of the world. God looked into Torah before he created the world. Torah has the ability to change the nature of things. That's why the Bava Chabi points out that the Achronim are done in the following question. It could be that every Isser Dirabanan is only an Isser Gavra. Isurei De'oraisa could be an Isser Cheftza. What does that mean, Bipashas? We're not learning the Durim base on base. What does that mean, Pashtas? The Torah says that this food is treif. This food becomes inherently treif. It's a chetza of treif food. If the Rabbanan say that this drink is treif, nothing changed about the drink itself. The drink is the same drink. Just the Rabbanan said, I'm not allowed to drink it. Torah has the ability to change. The Doraisa can alter the definition of a chetza. Rabbanim can't do that. Rabbanim can tell you what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, but for many achronim, it can't change the actual chetza. Discussion in the Sivu, discussion of Joseph Engel, discussion in achronim. What does that mean? Says the Bava Chabad. Torah has the ability to transform things. It's the blueprint of the world. It's looking into Torah and it's creating the world, which means that Torah, again, it's a bit of a mystical idea here, but Torah has the ability to change something's essence. If the Torah says this food is treif, the food becomes treif. The food becomes treif. The Rabbanan say it's the same food, it's an isser on you to be able to consume it. As far as the clarity in that point, just one, two, and... Suggests the Lubavitch Rebbe, that's why we read Parsha Zachar from a Sefer Torah. Because Torah has the ability to change a metzias. And what are we trying to do through Parsha Zachar? We're trying to eradicate a little bit of that small shmek of a malik, which is in a person. We are great and we are holy. There's a little piece that's there. How do you get rid of that little piece that's there? The way you get rid of it is by Torah can change in essence in a certain sense. When I listen to Parsha Zachar, and tomorrow you may want to move up a little bit closer so you can really hear all of Parsha Zachar. And you go up and you're reading it from the Torah. It's Torah, when you had that zechira, it is po'el. It alters, it changes, it impacts you. Because Torah can do that. It's a way of eradicating Amalek, not through the physical eradicating that takes place. Lasid Lavo, that takes place in a future era of the physical destruction of Amalek. But it's a kind of a destruction which takes place that a little bit of Amalek, I changed to reading it from Chumash. Let's talk about what we've said so far, and maybe we'll move on to Mahalach or Futner, that I think is very very beautiful. We've seen two ideas so far. Zechiras HaMalek, what's the significance of Bizman HaZeh? Why such an emphasis? We can't engage in Zechiras HaMalek anyway. So if it was more of a Lamed Shashir, we'd speak about Zechiras HaMalek, maybe independent value. What's going on in terms of Salvechik? There's a bit of HaMalek which can still be around nowadays. There's ideological HaMalek. May not be halachic, but ideological HaMalek. Or at least narrow halachic. If you are Lubavitch Rebbe, it's because there isn't a malik, which is a shmek, which is there inside of us. And Lubavitch Rebbe explains a couple of things in halacha in light of that. But the act of zechiras hamalek, when you listen tomorrow, the most basic thing you want to do is yotzei de mitzvah doraisa. But aside from being yotzei de mitzvah doraisa, during that reading, as I'm listening closely, if you're real Chabad Chassid, you're thinking a little bit about how that has the ability, hopefully be a bit of a purifying experience. The Torah can change. The Torah can change. Let's share the third Mahalach of Futner. It's a well-known Pacha Yitzchak. I have to, it's Chatani Maskar Yom. I'm not as clear on the general Yisod as I should be, but I will try to, do my best. Part of the question about the relevance of Zechiras Amalek has to do with the fact, if you look at it from a Michas Chinuch perspective, it's over. It's all in the past. Sancheirev already destroyed, mixed up all nations together. We have no way of identifying Amalek. There isn't that much to talk about. Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak in Hay in Purim has a beautiful insight based on a Maharal, and it's a great diuk as far as the psukim with Yaakov and Esav. Does Waxman speak about this in Pachah Yitzhak, like Purim's forever? Does he speak about this?
Yeah.
Great. So we'll try to do our best as far as Futner offers the following mahalach. Let's start like this. There are two different avodas. There are two different realms. There's this world, there's the current world of Bizman Hazeh, and there's the world of Lasid Lavo, the world of what will eventually be. Somebody says, I think, fits very nicely, and he doesn't quote it with a smag. I think there are some good things to be shown about that fit with what he suggested. But you have two different, you have a this world, and you have a Lasid Lavo. This world is a world that the world of Esav is in charge of. Esav plays a major role. It's a world of a Amalek playing a certain kind of a role. It's a world which is not as pure, not as holy, and not as clear as far as God's single dominance and control as maybe it should be. The world La'asid Lavo, that's a world which is shayach to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a world which is shayach to Klal Yisrael. That's a world which is shayach to the world of Yaakov. That's why he points out something unbelievable. That when Yaakov speaks to Esav, the way Chazal interpret it, Stam's speech to Esav is referring to La'asid Lavo. I'll meet you there. When's that going to happen? Say Chazal, when he speaks to Esav, La'asid Lavo. When he wants to buy the Bechor, what does Yaakov have to clarify to Esav? Sell me the Bechor, Hayom, today. What else would it be sold? Elamai. When Yaakov functions, Stam conversation with Yaakov is a La'asid Lavo kind of a conversation. Esav is one who works primarily in this world. So Yaakov has to go out of his way to explain, sell to me today, I want it now. That's the difference between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. Klal Yisrael and Amalek. In this world right now, the Ribbono Shel Olam is, it's not yet, like the Gemara says, Hu Echad Ushmo Echad. The Yichud Hashem is nowhere near as clear and apparent as it should be. Partially, that's because you have a group like Amalek. A group like Amalek, which is separate and distinct. A group which is Amalek, which stands for anything but Yichud Hashem. That's why Chazal tells us, I believe Rashi quotes it, in the Kisei of the Ribbono Shel Olam is not Shalem, calls man that Amalek's out there. God's name is not complete. Why is God's name not complete? Because calls man that there is an Amalek in the world, there's a certain Chisaron in Yichud Hashem. Again, this is based on Maharals. When is Amalek totally going to be eradicated? When's Amalek going to totally be destroyed? Not today. Tomorrow. Meaning, La'asid Lavo. That the time when Amalek is really going to be destroyed is La'asid Lavo, the shame of Hashem. That's when there's going to be the complete eradication of the world of the world of Amalek. So La'asid Lavo, kind of a destruction. Two things he explains based on that. One is a Maharal. The Maharal, if you ever notice this in reading the Megillah, it's an odd thing. There's a lot of Machar in the Megillah. A lot of tomorrow. One of the odd things. The whole two Seuda move, she invites Ahasuerus and Haman, Esther invites him to a Seuda, and then the response is, oh no, just like, can you come back tomorrow for another Seuda? What's going on? The Mefarshim had different suggestions as to what exactly the Kavanah was. But there's a lot of Machar. The Maharal suggests because that's really the struggle between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. That Machar, that's the Tkufa, not the today, the Le'asid, that's the Tkufa where Amalek's really going to fall. That's the Tkufa where we're really going to emerge victorious. And if you want to beat a Haman, there has to be a little bit, again, some of this is me paraphrasing and working off of, there has to be a bit of a Machar. Not today. Today, this world, Haman is very, very powerful. Want to come back tomorrow? It's a reference to the fact that right now it's not there, but it will be. It will be. It has to be that if you're going to beat Amalek, it has to be a bit of Asid, a bit of Machar inserted into that to really be able to take on Amalek and to really take them on properly. Rav Hutner suggests, based on that, we now have Pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam writes that all of the Moedim, Asidim Lihivatel, everything's going to be canceled eventually, Bisman Geula, except for Purim. Why is Purim going to stay forever? What's the chav that Purim is going to stay forever? So the answer is l'chora as follows. Suggests Rav Hutner. Again, the different ways of saying this. But, again, maybe this is a bit of a paraphrase. Most Yamim Tovim are Yamim Tovim that celebrate the now. And because they celebrate the now, la'asid lavo bisman the geula, they're going to be less relevant and less impactful because they're shayach to olam haza. They're shayach to this world. And therefore, la'asid lavo, they aren't going to be anywhere near as critical. They're not going to be as necessary because they're this world moedim. What's the moed of Purim? What is Purim all about? Purim is about the victory over a Haman. Purim is about the victory over an Amalek. When does that victory over Amalek really kick in? What's the real midah of Purim? Purim is a la'asid lavo kind of a day. Purim is a day where a person celebrates and experiences a time that relates a lot to the world of la'asid lavo. A lot to the world of la'asid lavo. Purim is in many ways, that explains a bunch of Minhagim and Purim, which we're not going to, not as important for now, but there are a lot of indications of that. But part of what it is a celebration, not of now, but of La'asid Lavo, of that eventual time period, of the Lamachar, when the Kisei of Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be Shalem, when Hashem is going to be complete, and Amalek is going to be eradicated. According to Rav Huttner Lechora, part of Zechiras Amalek, again, the question we opened up with, if Amalek is not around nowadays, it's in the past. It's in the past, and Chayav mixed the nation together. What's the significance of remembering them? So the Rav suggested because there's still an element of Amalek which is around, not biological Amalek, ideological Amalek. For the Babich Rebbe, there's an Amalek inside of us, a small, small amount. But when you remember Amalek, it's a way of just removing that just a little bit. It's a way of removing that a little bit. When it comes to, for Rav Huttner, part of remembering Amalek is because it may not be Shayach right now, but it will be tomorrow. It will be not right now, but in the Asid, in the future. And it's important to remember that because we still haven't gotten to that point of the Ribbono Shel Olam's Kisei being Shalem. It's something which should dictate a certain kind of orientation as far as where the world is at and where we want the world to be able, where we want the world to be able to go. Let me just try to end with a little bit of a point right now. It's not the connection between Zachar and Purim is a connection that we experience. It's a connection which is very, very clear. It's a very, very clear connection. It is one that this year in particular we experience most intensely because we go straight from a Zachar into a Purim. Part of the avoda of Purim is trying to eradicate elements of the world of Amalek and what Amalek represents. None of us, obviously, there's no actual Machias Amalek that's like going on Bizman Hazeh, but there are elements in the world of Machshava, there are ideas of Amalek that it's our mission to try to overcome, and it's our mission to try to take on. For Salvatric, it's an important statement about the need to rise up against those nations that oppose Klal Yisrael, to protect ourselves, and to be able to take on certain kinds of nations. It's a wonderful zechus that we have people next week who are going to be going to the army, who are going to be there to protect us from nations that are not our friends bichlal. For the Babich Rebbe, it's about an internal kind of an Amalek. For him, it's about knowing the Ribbono Shel Olam and still rebelling. But for others, it could be about the kind of suffix Amalek represents. For others, it could be about the lack of passion Amalek represents. And the avodah of Purim, to make it real, is to have in yourself to try to get a certain sense of clarity or to live with a certain kind of doubt. It could be about Navoda. It could be Navoda of instilling a certain kind of passion. Not just being good and going with the flow and always being consistent and being nice, great, and holy as it is, but doing that with a little bit of fire inside. Doing that with a little sense of passion is something which can be incredibly, incredibly beautiful and incredibly, 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 incredibly important. For Rav Huttner, it gives us hope. It gives us hope when you look at a world, to use his way, it's a fractured world. It's a world which is not one. It's a world which is where you see many, many different things. I think Shlomo Carlebach used to say, this is not a pro or anti-drinking line. I mean, this line is. This is, I'm not taking a side, I'm just sharing to the insight. That I think he suggested that, I don't know if it was really from Shlomo, but whatever, that when a person gets drunk in an unholy way, instead of seeing two, they see four. Instead of seeing four, they see eight. They're always seeing double. When a person drinks in a holy way, they only see one. There is something to be said for, not necessarily that a person should drink, but there is something to be said for the ability on a Purim to hope and to experience that taste, that small taste, me'ein olam haba, me'ein la'asid lavo, of oneness, of one. of a Rabbono Sholem where it's not, it becomes clear. Amalek is mechulak min hametzias. Amalek is separate and distinct. The kisei de Rabbono Sholem is not yet shalem, and may we be zocheh not just to remember what once was, and not just to get rid of the small piece of Amalek that are within us, but may we be zocheh to ula asad lavo with Rabbono Sholem's kisei is totally shalem. Shkoyach, guys. Have a wonderful day.